Thanks for joining us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We're going to take a look at air travel next year on the Ideas Net. You know, lots of times it's good to get out of the state and get somewhere else, too. And we got a guy that helps us with that task pretty often, Rick Seeney, CEO of FairCompare.com. And if you're planning on a trip and involves flight, I hope you'll join in at 800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. And Rick Seeney, welcome. Thanks for taking time to be with us today.
Hey, Larry. Good afternoon.
Wonderful to have you here. You have an article on FairCompare.com titled Five Ways to Save on Spring Break Trips.
Yeah, no, I've been getting a lot of spring break questions. These are for the procrastinators, by the way. A lot of us already have our tickets purchased. But, you know, there's sort of three different ways you can sort out if you haven't bought your ticket yet. First of all, if you're looking, the most expensive way to get out of town right now is if you would like to fly nonstop and you want to fly on Sunday to Sunday or Saturday to Sunday on the weekends. That's the most expensive trip right now. Remember, the airlines know exactly what days our school districts let out for spring break. So they know exactly when to raise prices. Then your second next cheaper choice is to take that same weekend-to-weekend trip on a connecting flight. Usually save about 20% or so. And then the third choice is actually to break your trip up so you actually leave on a weekday like a Tuesday or maybe even a Wednesday and have a 4-night or 5-night trip. And that's going to save you an additional 20 to 25%. So when you look at it all together, you have at this point, there's so many flights that are completely full, especially the nonstop ones. They're getting a premium. If you want to go to any warm weather beach destination, whether it's Mexico beaches or Latin America or Caribbean beaches, you're looking at $700 to $1,000 round trip. So your second choice would be places like San Diego and South Florida, for example, if you're wanting to head to the beach.
Yeah, I waited too long and I've paid for it dearly to go a trip from Madison where are we going? Phoenix, and to see the Brewers, among other things. And just about a week and a half or 2 weeks ago, I made those flight connections. And fortunately, I have all kinds of points, so it didn't cost me anything, but it cost me a lot of points.
Oh, yeah. So even when you're trying to redeem points at the last minute, the airlines know that. So they're in many cases, they're going to hit you with double points for the anytime method instead of the ones where you plan way ahead. So it's really hard to game airlines right now when four of them control 80% of the United States traffic.
Yeah. What about Disney?
Yeah, I mean, you know, a lot of people, I get questions on Disney all the time. And so you basically have two choices. Right now, Disneyland, depending on if you're flying to L.A. or John Wayne Airport or Long Beach or depending on which airport's serviced, is running about 40% cheaper than Orlando from a flight perspective. I was just looking out of Milwaukee, Madison, Green Bay, a variety of other ones, and it's pretty much 40% more to go down to Orlando. So, you know, if you're looking at that kind of airfare, again, it's one of those things. If you go Tuesday, Saturday, or Tuesday, Sunday, that's when you're going to get your best break.
Yeah, we're going in June. Well, actually, the end of May. So the Thursday, the end of May, and then through the first week of June and come back on a Saturday.
Usually, the cheapest days to fly are Tuesday, Wednesday, and Saturday. So even if you pick one of those on either your outbound or your inbound, you're likely to save more money.
Yeah. We have lots of callers online. Again, you can join us at 800-642-1234. And you had an article on Disneyland and Disney World, 7 Tips to Save Money, Time, Stress. And that's, you know, I'm somebody who's spent a lot of time at Disney World.
I think you and I, Larry, I know we've talked about this in the past. We could write a book together, I think.
Oh, man. But you mentioned the flight's cheaper, and then I think it really is a good idea to plot your park strategy in advance. Now we have the bracelet, so we can do it a lot easier than many people who don't.
You can do that in World now. They're just now starting to roll some of that out at Disneyland.
Oh, they are.
Yeah. So you may or may not be able to get the bracelets, the magic bands at Disneyland. It looks like some will, some won't, depending on if you stay at the hotel. You may be as part of that program, at least for this summer.
And the one thing that I thought was really interesting, or one of the things I thought was really interesting, was if you're going to Disneyland or Disney World either, and you have kids, kiddies, hit those rides early.
Yeah, you know, I actually one time got a guide when I was in Disney World, and this particular guide was somebody that actually watched park traffic for a living at Disney for 2 or 3 years, and as he was guiding me through the Magic Kingdom, in this case Animal Kingdom, and some of the other places, it was eye-opening. For example, if you walk in the front door at Magic Kingdom, you'd be surprised to know that 65% of the people go to the right.
Yeah.
35% of the people go to left. So if you're rushing in, head left. Yeah. In the morning, most of the 1, 2, and 3-year-olds don't start arriving till 10:30 or 11 in the morning. So yeah. If you want to ride sort of the teacups and Peter Pan and a variety of those other rides, and well, the one my wife always wants to ride is a Small World, then you should go first thing in the morning before the little ones get there and it gets completely packed out.
Yeah, my daughter likes that teacup.
I have to tell you, Larry, my most favorite place on the planet, especially as your kids get older, is right outside in California Adventure, where you can actually sit at a table and drink a glass of wine and watch your kids run up and down like yo-yos.
Oh, I like that idea.
It's, I think, one of the few places that Disney actually serves alcohol in California Adventure.
Oh, man. Oh, man. Well, Mike in Oshkosh has a question for you. So let's go to Mike. He's been waiting a while. Mike, thanks for waiting.
Oh, thank you so much for taking my call. I'm a real enthusiast of your show, Larry, and I just love it when Rick is on. I would like to pick his brain.
Sure, go ahead.
A couple things today. My wife and I travel back and forth to France a couple times a year, and we are getting so incredibly sick of being stuffed into these sardine cans in economy class airfare.
Sure.
That we are considering this spring, there are a couple of super cheap cruises from Florida to Europe, what they call their repositioning.
They're going to transatlantic cruises. They reposition them to get them ready for some of the summer trips in Europe.
We found one as cheap as $3.99.
It's a slow boat, by the way. Remember that.
Yes, we know. But the downside is then getting back home in August or September. No matter, well, any time of the year, any place, one-way tickets are so horrendously expensive.
Sure. In fact, airlines don't even file one-way tickets that are anywhere close to being cheap. So if you're flying a one-way trip, this is what I always say to folks: plan on going back to where you started. And if you can't make it, then let the airlines know that you can't make it back. And it's just, it's crazy. They just don't file airfares for any one-way airfares. The cheapest one-way airfares in many times are $3,000 to $4,000 in coach.
Yeah, it's not
ridiculous.
When the round trip fare is, let's say, in the case of summertime, Paris coming back would be somewhere around 900 to 1,000 euros coming back.
Wow.
Right. So then, the flip side of that is, or another part of that, flying from Wisconsin, from Oshkosh, Wisconsin, down to Miami or Orlando or wherever these cruises are leading from, we would be coming back in the fall. Would we be wise to choose a round trip ticket on that segment?
In the United States, one ways are going to be much cheaper for you. The main reason for that is because of the predominance of JetBlue and Southwest Airlines. They have a one-way fare structure. So on any route, for example, if you're coming back from, let's say you're going out of Canaveral, I'm not sure which port you're going out, you might be going out of Miami. If you're coming back from those locations, you're going to have places with Southwest on the route, so they're going to have decent one-way prices. So you're okay. You're perfectly fine buying a one-way ticket that way.
How long does it take to do that cruise, though, from Florida to Europe?
Well, here's the thing. One of them is 11 days.
Yeah, I was going to say 10 or something.
And I think there's one stop, and then you end up in Barcelona. I think that is with Norwegian Cruise Line. Then the other one with Holland America actually has about four stops in Europe, and it's a 14-day cruise, but it stops in Brest, which is not too far from where we want to end up, Brest in France. And so we're going to disembark like two or three stops early, and that one is it's 14 days, but how long it takes to get to Brest, I'm not sure. I think it's 10 or 11 days.
Wow.
Yeah, this is one of those ones where if you have plenty of time, it's probably going to be fun if you like being on a boat for 10 days and not seeing land for a while.
Yeah, $400 a person, that's pretty great.
Yeah, I would note, too, for the people that want to fly this year to Europe, or if you're flying back from Europe, in this case, I get this question a lot. I'm taking a cruise over, or I'm taking a cruise back. In some cases, it's repositioning back to the U.S. You're not going to find cheap one-way fare, so you need to plan on going back. Meet some friends and plan on going back to visit them at a later date, and then if you can't make it, let the airlines know. And your worst case is having a $300 change fee, which you're going to save a lot of money doing that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then second of all, the cheapest days to fly are in days of the week, Monday through Thursday. They have what's called weekend and midweek pricing, and the weekend pricing is higher. And also, you need to stay at least a Saturday night. Almost all the cheap airfare have a rule on them that say you must stay a Saturday night. So I've seen people get caught, leaving on a Sunday and returning on a Saturday. That does not include a Saturday night, and the fares are 40 or 50% higher. And most of the fares also have a 30-day maximum stay rule. So if you have a cheaper airfare, you have to stay 30 days or less. So if you're staying 31 days, you're likely going to pay some more.
Joanne in Eau Claire, thanks for calling. Hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. My daughter's studying in Korea, and we're looking at flying her back either from Seoul or Fukuoka, Japan,
sure.
The end of June. I'm just wondering when's a good time to buy a ticket, and if we should be buying it now, or should we wait a bit? Will it go down?
You're almost at a perfect time. Okay, so there's a couple of factors. In general, when you're flying Trans-Pacific or Transatlantic, for that matter, you want to start shopping about 5 months, 5 to 5.5 months before departure. So in June, you're right sort of in the sweet spot of starting to shop, right?
Okay.
Second of all, the trip prices to Asia have been coming down slightly. We've seen some of the oil prices drop. We haven't seen them drop very dramatically to Europe, but we've seen some of the prices coming down from Asia. So you want to start looking at those tickets right now. If you're flying in from Seoul, for example, there's a brand new nonstop recently in the last year and a half through Dallas that connects through Dallas. You can also get there through LA. So depending on what city you're flying out of, in the Midwest, you're going to likely make at least one connection, maybe two, depending on where you're. If you're coming from like Green Bay or Madison or one of those, you're likely going to make two stops with that particular ticket. And I've seen tickets as low right now, even for June travel, as low as about $1,050, which last year they were running at about $1,350.
Good advice there from Rick Seedy, CEO of FareCompare.com. He'll be with us right up until 12:30 today. Take a look at the news, then we'll be back with Rick. Stay with us. So happy to have you with us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio Travel. Hey, it's a lot of fun. Sometimes the stress and hassle of planning the trip is the worst part. Well, we have some help for you today. Rick Seney, CEO and founder of FareCompare.com, our guest, and he helps us navigate the world of airfares, keeps us informed of trends that we see in the industry. And Rick, once again, great to have you with us.
No, it's always fun to be on.
I actually been to your site. I was at your site to set up the trip to Arizona, and then I set up a trip to playing in a golf tournament up in Saskatchewan in end of May, actually, just before the trip to Disney. I'll be there, and I found a great price. I was really, somebody said, oh, it's going to be $900 to fly from Madison to Saskatchewan that time of the year, and I found a flight for $500.
Yeah, I think $500 is a pretty good deal. I've seen a few flights from the Northwest that do get up to around $800 or $900, but only on rare occasions. It should be in the $500 to $600 range. That's what you should be paying anyway.
And I've got to get, I haven't gotten the flight to Madison to Orlando yet either, so I'm going to have to look into that pretty quickly as well, because that's right about the right about time, isn't it? March?
Yeah, February? Yeah. So you should be shopping. Just, I mean, look, when you start shopping for domestic travel, it's about, it should be around 3 to 3.5 months beforehand, and don't buy any later than 30 days out.
Yeah.
As soon as you get inside of 30 days, you're playing right into the airline's hands. Now, that leaves a pretty wide window. You can sometimes find a better deal. At least if you start early and start kicking the tires, you'll know what the price is. You'll see what the price is. You can sign up for alerts on our site. You'll get a few alerts to tell you sort of how it's bouncing around a little bit, and then you can make a better decision.
Sarah in Appleton has a question. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
We are planning a trip to Albania for about 10 to 11 days at the end of August. And I know that he said before that, about five and a half months is when we should start looking. But I didn't know if there were days of the week that were better for leaving and coming back.
Sure, yeah, no, definitely Monday through Thursday are better days. They have weekend and weekday pricing. So weekend pricing typically runs about $80 round trip more than weekday pricing, even if you leave on one of the days. So if you left, for example, on a Tuesday, came back on, let's say you wanted to stay 10 or 11 days on a Saturday or Sunday, you'd be charged the $40 instead of the $80. And if you went like Tuesday to Tuesday or Tuesday to Thursday, for example, spanning a week for 8 or 9 days, it would be cheaper for you.
Okay, and then do you recommend any certain airlines to look at, or just kind of start playing around? And
well, look, you only have a handful of international airlines now, right? So you basically have, well, you have a new entrant too, which is sort of interesting. There's Norwegian Air Shuttle, but they're not completely in the Northwest yet. So you basically have American, Delta, and United, right? And they're the ones that are going to be flying, over the Atlantic. Now you also have their partners, which include Air France, KLM, British Airways, in the case of United, Air Canada. So you can take any one of them or their partners. They tend to divide up because they don't have to work against each other anymore. They're actually working together as part of international antitrust immunity that they've been granted. So they're going to set their prices together. They're going to set their flights together. So they all sort of work as a unit. So you basically have Oneworld, SkyTeam, and Star Alliance as your choices. And if you're in the Northwest, Delta is going to be very popular out of Minneapolis. They're going to have some of the better deals. If you're going out of Chicago, for example, it'll be United.
There you go.
Okay, I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks for calling, Sarah. Appreciate it. Arlene in Madison, your turn. Hi, Arlene.
Good morning. Thank you.
You bet.
Anyway, I've got to head to Europe with my youngest grandson. The older one kept up his Mandarin, and his trip was to China a few years ago. And now this one is graduating. He's kept up his Spanish. But was looking at maybe going through Istanbul and then over to Spain and stopping by in Italy. And just wanted to know,
sure.
I know I've got to make up my mind on the dates and everything pretty soon here. And just wondering if Rick had any advice.
Yeah, so I'm planning a trip with my family, too, this summer. I think we're going to go visit Nice, Monaco, a couple different places in the southern part of France. So when you're traveling over to Europe, and if you want to go to Istanbul, it's a little more complicated to get to Istanbul on one of the three U.S. carriers. So what I like to do is you're going to end up going to really one of four or five cities, depending on which airline you are. You're going to end up going through London Heathrow. You're going to end up going through Amsterdam, Frankfurt, and to some degree Madrid, depending on which airline you're going on. And those are going to be the main jump-off points. Now, from any one of those cities like Frankfurt, for example, they have several low-cost airlines that fly into Istanbul. Directly from Frankfurt. It's not a very long flight. And you might want to stay if you go down south of Frankfurt, you can go into Bavaria, which is a cool place to visit in the summertime for a couple days to break up the trip. So, or you can do a carrier trip where you're going to stay on your alliance. In that case, you'd have to make sure that the partners that the airlines have, and remember, there's only three airlines now that travel across United, American, and Delta. So I tend to like to stay at a place for a couple days once I land and then take a low-cost airline. And there's tons of them over there. There's German Wings. You have Air Berlin if you're flying into Germany. You have a variety of other ones. And there is, I think that last count, there was 19 low-cost airlines in Europe.
Wow.
I've had fueling
Vueling. Yeah, that's out of Spain. Yeah, so I've been on Vueling a couple times between Madrid and Barcelona just to try them out. So they have some good trips as well, and they also fly to Istanbul as well. So if you're going through Madrid, that's one I would pick as well.
All right, there we go. Thanks a lot for calling, Arlene. Good luck. Appreciate the call. There's a nice grandmother, eh?
Absolutely, yeah. I wish my grandma. I was lucky to get a quarter from my grandma, let alone a trip to Europe.
Oh, man. Susan in Appleton is up next. Hi, Susan.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. We're interested in taking a trip to Finland and stopping in Iceland, either on the way or on the return flight in the end of May. And returning at least by the 6th of June, and I'm wondering if you have any suggestions.
Yeah, I think if I remember correctly, Iceland Air flies out of Minneapolis and it connects in Reykjavik. So that'd be, and it's usually much cheaper than some of the major airlines. So it's one of the few airlines. There's a few ones that fly across, like Aer Lingus, Iceland Air. There's some new flights from Norwegian Air Shuttle that aren't part of the big groups. So I check into that, and usually it's pretty inexpensive. I believe they still fly out of Minneapolis for sure. I think they fly out of Chicago as well. So look for Iceland Air.
Iceland Air.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. And when you say what's reasonable?
What time of year did you say you were going?
The end of May.
At the end of May. So there's a huge jump in price on or after May 12th. So you're going to end up getting summer rates at the end of May. Okay. But on Iceland Air, I've seen tickets under $1,000 round trip and coach.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, it depends on what days you go. They don't fly every day of the week, so you got to be a little bit careful there. But if you're flying other airlines, you're looking at in the $1,300 to $1,500 range.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Susan, for calling. Will in La Crosse. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My wife and I are planning a late summer trip, probably late July, early August to Spain. We know several people on the ground there, and we're looking to possibly break it into a multi-city trip where we would fly into Barcelona and out of Sevilla. And just wondering what strategies we could use to bring the cost down and when we should be looking at purchasing.
Sure. I think it's interesting. Everybody's flying to Spain. And by the way, the dollar is extremely strong in Europe right now. So I don't blame everybody for wanting to go to Europe this year. Take an empty bag, by the way, and bring it back.
Yeah.
So from a strategy side, if you're going to be going to multiple hops in Spain, depending on where you want to go, I mean, if you're flying into Spain directly, there's only a handful of airlines that fly into Barcelona directly. So you're going to likely be going into Madrid, right? Now, you can take, we mentioned Vueling before, it's a low-cost airline in Spain. That you can take between your locations if you want to. I personally like to actually home base at one airport and then take a low-cost airline or the train instead of trying to create a multi-city trip and getting it all to work out of that particular city. Usually it's much more expensive to do that. So depending on if you're trying to save money or not, if you're okay with a multi-city trip and handling that booking by yourself without a travel agent, just go to a multi-city option on any of the major online travel agencies. They'll provide that, and you can look at it, but typically the price is going to be much higher.
There you go. Thanks a lot, Will, for calling. We had Lauren from Eau Claire up next. Hi, Lauren. Lauren, are you there? I think we lost Lauren. Oh, all right. Well, we have a Facebook question from Pat. We need to book a flight to Auckland from Madison or Chicago, leaving in mid-August, and will return in mid-January 2016 by way of Melbourne and possibly Honolulu.
Sounds like they're staying there for many months.
Yep, many months, August to January. And fares on Air New Zealand are good right now, but the travel sites are not letting us book a multiple city return. How do we do this? Yeah. Do we buy a one-way and book a direct flight? What's that?
It's painful right now, right? Because when we talked about one-way fares across oceans, they don't tend to have them very well. So you don't want to buy a one-way. So the only time, you know, I'd also mention the person that's taking that cruise, they do have one-way awards seats. So if this is a good time, actually, because it's half the amount from an award perspective. So it's another way to handle that if you want to do that one-way trip. In this particular case, if you're doing a multi-city trip over 30 days, you're not going to get a huge break on price because, as I mentioned earlier, the round-trip fares, which is basically how a multi-city trip is built, typically have either a 30-day or a 60-day or even sometimes a 90-day, what they call a maximum stay. So you're basically looking at an open-ended trip where you're staying that long and coming back, but you still want to book that as a multi-city return trip, right? So what they call a circle trip. And to do that properly, depending on the site, you know, bigger sites like, Expedia have pretty good multi-city search. I would look there. On our site, we don't tend to specialize in multi-city because it's complicated and we're trying to make it easy for folks. I would look there for multi-city. You typically can find tickets, and I know they're going to be leaving in the summertime, but those tickets are going to range to be about 20 to 30% higher than a normal round-trip ticket. And then adding on another 20% for being 4 or 5 months in length. So you're looking at just under $2,000 round trip.
John was looking at going through the process of being approved so he didn't have to wait, do the long lines at check-in.
Oh, sure, yeah, that's pre-check. I would prefer to do global entry, which includes pre-check.
Global Entry is the place, the way to go?
Yeah, so pre-check, I think, is $80 for 5 years, and Global Entry is $100 for 5 years. But Global Entry includes fast-tracking through immigration and customs. So not only do you get to be in the pre-check line when you're flying domestically or, for that matter, internationally, you also get fast-tracking on your way back from international trips. So if you're not going to take an international trip in 5 years, I definitely would go the pre-check route because it saves you $20.
And was wondering what the process is like. Is it?
It can depend. You know, for a while there, they were randomly selecting people for going to the pre-check line. So the pre-check lines got pretty bogged up. And then the Department of Transportation and TSA worked together to come up and say, hey, wait a second, you know, you can't sell this stuff and then start dumping people that didn't pay for it in those lines. So about a year ago, they started not adding as many people randomly. So usually, and I've been through pre-check probably in the last, 3 years or so, at least 4 or 5 dozen times, and it's usually very good. You're basically, if there's any line at all, which many times there's not, it's only 4 or 5 deep, and you zip through basically pre-9/11 style. Don't take your shoes off, leak your liquids in, leave your computer in. It's very, very convenient.
And once you apply, how long does it take to get that pass?
You actually have to set up an actual visit out to one of the airports and locations at an office where TSA is. And so depending on what their schedule looks like, when I scheduled it 2 or 3 years ago, I got it, you know, a couple weeks later. I've heard that the wait times have dropped pretty dramatically because a lot of people have signed up. So it shouldn't take you more than, you know, several weeks to get an appointment to go out there. The appointment, by the way, takes about 3 or 4 minutes. They ask you 4 or 5 questions. They've already pre-vetted you, and you get your picture taken, and you're off to the races.
We have Marcia in Sturgeon Bay with a question. Hi, Marcia.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
The last week of April, we're going to be traveling to Jingdezhen, China, which is southwest of Shanghai.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering if you could give me any advice on getting tickets and if it's better to go through Shanghai or Beijing.
Well, they're adding a lot of new flights into Shanghai and nonstops, but they're coming in sort of slow. So you're likely going to end up at Beijing unless you find one of the carriers that fly directly to Shanghai, usually from the West Coast. I personally, on that particular trip, and I know some people that were asking me a question on the same location a while back, so I'm a little bit up on the topic. I definitely would find a connecting flight off the West Coast that goes into Shanghai for that particular trip.
Mm-hmm. And should do it soon. It's April.
Yeah, no, you need to be shopping right now for that. So, and don't buy it any later than mid-March.
There you go. Good luck, Marcia. Thank you for calling. And Christian just saw a travel episode of Tahiti and Bora Bora, and now I have to get there. Is there any better time to go there? And could it be cheaper to fly through Mexico instead of L.A.?
Yeah, you know, the funny thing, I was talking to my wife about this about a month and a half ago. I'm like, I keep seeing these Tahiti and Bora Bora videos. Yeah. I'm going to have to figure out how to go there. We have to figure out how to get there. And so it is a little bit of a jaunt. You're talking about an all-day affair, in some cases a little bit longer than a day. In most cases, it includes a boat at the end. Depending on where you're going in Bora Bora. You have some airlines that specialize in that out of Los Angeles area. I believe Fiji Air is one of them. I think Air Tahiti Nui is another one that specializes in that. There's also some of those trips out of Hawaii, too. So you could sort of break it up and go to Hawaii on your way out there.
We have, let's see, Catherine in Marshfield, I believe, next. Catherine, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I'm calling because my daughter is studying abroad this fall in Granada, Spain, and she'll be leaving sometime late August. We don't have the exact dates, but she essentially has to get there herself so she can leave out at any airport, and so we're just wondering where would be the best option to fly out of, and when should we look at booking the tickets?
Sure. So in August, you're a little bit early to start shopping for August, about 5 months beforehand. You're just slightly early before that. Let me give you a couple tips. I mentioned earlier that they have midweek and weekend pricing, midweek being cheaper. So I definitely would try to go on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday in this particular case. That's going to save you a little bit of money. In general, if you're flying from sort of a smaller airport, whether even if it's from Milwaukee or Madison, or Eau Claire, or some of those places.
We could do Chicago.
You're going to connect in either Chicago or Minneapolis.
Okay.
So from either one, you're going to see your best pricing. So typically when you're coming in on that little connecting flight, they add about $100 to $170 each way on each end of the ticket to give you that convenience. Now you have to take it, if you're driving quite a bit, you have to look at your gas and what it takes to park as well.
Sure.
So add that up in your equation. There is a huge break in prices the last week in August. So summer rates for prices to Europe go all the way up until the last week of August. So if you can buy your ticket at that break point, the prices drop by about 30%. I believe that's around August 23rd this year.
August 23rd. Okay, excellent.
So if one person that leaves on August 22nd is going to pay 30% more than the person that leaves on August 23rd. it's just the way seasonal works. Yeah. So that's what I would look there as well. And then I'd start shopping, in a couple months from now when you get about 5 months out.
There you go.
Okay, excellent. Thanks so much.
Sure.
Yeah. Thanks a lot for calling. And Vern in Eau Claire. Hi. Thanks for calling.
Yeah. Thanks for taking my call. I went to Florida round trip by Spirit Airlines for $201 in December, and I had a car for $87 a week. I just made another trip with American Airlines for $234 for a week, and that same car is now $447 for a week. Is there some reason I can tell them that I'm not a student, I'm 80 years old, I can get it different?
Well, it depends on what time you're going. I'm not real up on, car pricing and rental car pricing, but I would say that what happens is they know exactly when you're doing and what week it is. And by the way, if you paid $200 on Spirit, you probably paid too much. Some of their tickets are $9.
Oh, my goodness.
If you join their $9 fare club. I would definitely, there's plenty of options for looking at car. There's a couple of interesting places. The place that I like to look for cars, which has a really good car program, is on Orbitz. They also have some cheaper deals I've seen on Orbitz, and we actually have them on our site. And also Expedia has some pretty good car deals as well. So take a look at those. And some of them are sort of the off brands. If you get Enterprise, for example, or some of the other ones like Advantage that are off-site, are much cheaper. Depending on if you're staying a week, you may want to go that direction.
Yeah, some good tips. And yeah, I actually used your site and got a pretty good deal on a car for the Arizona trip.
Yeah, whenever I do that, I look through those particular options. They have a pretty good way of looking at it. And really, honestly, you'll see the major brands. They've all sort of merged together just like airlines have.
Yeah.
So, Budget and, National and a variety of other ones, they all sort of roll up to something. And then you have sort of a few of the off-brands, sort of like Spirit Airlines, that are going to be much cheaper. But usually it's a lot less convenient at the airport. You have to go off-site on the airport.
And again, maybe explain again how your faircompare.com works?
Well, we do two or three different things, right? So we're what's called a meta search site. So we go out and shop all the different sites. I think right now it's 40 or 50 different sites that we shop worldwide. And we also are one of the handful of people, companies in the world that actually have a seat on the airline ticket stock exchange, where we actually get airfares in from over 500 airlines, and we mine that data and literally billions of different pieces of information each day to try to find the best deals, when to buy, look at the historical analysis. So we're a bunch of computer geeks just trying to answer the same questions I've been answering for the last half hour or so.
Well, it's always a pleasure, Rick. Thank you so much for taking time to be with us today.
Thanks, Larry.
Appreciate it very much. Rick Seeney, CEO of faircompare.com. I've got to get back on there again because I've got a third trip to Florida to schedule. So I'll be doing that as well. Maybe you will too. Tomorrow, Garden Talk. Joel Karsten is back to talk about his innovative system of straw bale gardening. He's got a new book out on it as well. And we talk straw bale gardening quite a bit on Garden Talk, and tomorrow will be no exception. Thank you so much for listening, and please do stay with us. You know, we have lots of good things in store here all afternoon and into the evening on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.